Subgenii are familiar with.
Yeah.
You know, many in your vast listening audience in North America and all the ships at sea. In fact, I think people have it on VCR. And when you look at it a certain way, like you mentioned, infernal regions.
Yeah.
And heaven and hell being flip sides of each other by many people's...
I didn't say that, but... Yeah,
no, a lot of people see it that way.
Yeah.
There is some kind of yin-yang dichotomy between heaven and hell in much of mythology. But I just wondered, you must have seen the film Eraserhead. If you look at it as a version, or as a man's glimpses towards a particular heaven... there's a song about heaven, which bears a somewhat resemblance to the excess or coming theme.
Yeah.
And I just thought if you could use it as maybe a talking point, reference point, like a man who lives in a infernal region, which is a parody of our world, noxious chemical plants, Christmas turkeys that leak 10W-40 on the table as we watch in fascination. And eventually, the Henry, the main character, the eraser head, he does somewhat transcend his world into a heaven. It's kind of like he's immersed himself in 7-Up bubbles. And remember, he looks under the radiator, and he sees a little lady under there, and she sings a song about heaven.
Yeah.
That's his first glimpse. I don't know if that film is a kind of... metaphor that gives you some kind of resonance, but it probably gives resonance to some of your audience.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, Eraserhead was planted in his head by me, and I can prove that in a few minutes, and Blue Velvet was a letter to me. You can listen to the piece put together called Who's Forgotten Furrylint, and you'll hear some of the music from that album, and that movie is in Who's Forgotten Furrylint. But there is reasons why Eraserhead was organized by me. You see, the industrial pollution level and then the attempt at the end, feeling you got that he has overcome and gone by that, surpassed or risen above the industrial pollution. How could you do that? Through the electric discarnate state.
Mm.
All right? And the idea of a singer is just referring to the song of acoustic space and tactility. All right, so you have the singing element that he can only in the movie medium. The movie medium cannot manifest the discarnate state itself.
Yeah.
All right? It's stuck between point of view and process. So he can only use heaven as a metaphor. And the way he does it, he calls it Eraserhead. Now, that comes from Meister Eckhart's famous saying about 600 years ago, only the hand that erases can write the true thing.
What about the moving finger of God writes and moves on?
Yes, but writes and moves on doesn't that's Shakespeare doesn't indicate the erasing of what he wrote. Moves on. You see, the erasing is the electric age where you cancel out your effects. The print man doesn't understand the effects. Doesn't understand the effects he's creating.
But we do have another.
Do you know what I mean?
So you only get 5 minutes.
So the effects. Of literate God moving on,
yeah.
Is that he doesn't foresee that he should have canceled out the invisible effects. All right, whereas Meister Eckhart, back there just at the beginning of the Gutenberg galaxy, had a bit of medieval sensibility to know the acoustic space effect of the medieval sensibility that you have to erase the effects you create. Do you see what I mean? You have to anticipate that.
What came to mind was there was an image in that same film, Eraserhead, a godlike figure. He was pulling switches, a man with leper-like pustules all over his body.
Yeah, that's the ventriloquist metaphor for all media do that to human beings. They create a situation where they're engaged with media as servo mechanism, creating the robot effect. All right, and they're being controlled by someone behind the scene. Before, originally, the Council of Ten on the bureaucratic level, the manipulators, the conspiracy, right?
Yeah.
And then in the industrial realm, you use a metaphor of a lever puller.
Well, what about that? How that resonates in a fearful way with hundreds of thousands of people we are mere ventriloquist puppets of the commissars, of the corporate power brokers, of the power brokers in the deeper, darker, mysterious conspiracies that you're continually bringing to light.
Okay, now you said why should we or are we afraid of that?
I think a lot of people have a fearful resonation with
it. Right. That's because they don't understand the electric autonomy freeing effect, even though it is an aspect of RAI in a pure media ecological sense. But at this point, we can enjoy the slack of the electric autonomy because that's the environment that goes around the 1984 Orwellian environment. That actually was a description of pre-World War II, 1934. That's why Orwell is not appropriate to what we're talking about today. We are not subject to Big Brother completely anymore. Big Brother follows our will on the electric level. See what I mean?
So isn't it some kind of hangover effect that heaven equals escapism for the Muslim, for the Christian, for the agnostic, for the Shriner, for the Mason?
Yeah, that's the Rai principle. Rai tried to escape. That's the separateness thing. That's the tribal manifestation of that. Yeah, the idea that one cannot handle the imploded, claustrophobic, discarnate, dancing on the acoustic pin sensibility.
You
got to be quite. You got to be quite. Comprehensive in dealing with that, and most individuals today can't do it, though they're living in a natural state which they are doing it, though they're unaware of it, okay? And group archetypes cannot do it, and media archetypes cannot do it.
Well, Garrett Dean, from the glimpse you gave us earlier in the show, he seemed like, whatever the word describing the complete opposite of claustrophobia, he seemed to be as far away from that feeling as one could imagine.
That's right, and people can walk into his house and they immediately feel it in their heart. There's a vibration, a frequency around his holy office that affects people like a drug immediately.
And that frequency is a kind of natural emanation of him?
Yeah, he's Mr. Natural.
My time is up.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Jaho.
Okay, we're going to go on to heaven. We got more callers?
I know this alarm clock isn't very popular, Bob, but I mean, there's another caller who's been on the line for several minutes.
That's right,
and,
Mike.
We've got to go to it, and I'm not like those aggressive CBC people.
No, that is appropriate.
I use props to hoik up my microphone. Let's go right to this caller, okay, Bob?
Okay.
Hello, CKLM.
Hello.
Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, this is Dave. I'm in Scarborough.
Dave.
I figured I'd call up Bob tonight. I heard you talking about heaven.
Yeah.
And my
that's your area, right? That's your. Can you hear me?
Can I lay out two questions for Bob?
Yeah. Can you hear me? You got your radio on?
My radio. I can't hear you through the phone, though.
Yeah, you can hear me through the radio. I'm just saying, heaven is your area. This is the first time you've called, right? You identify with that topic.
Well, anyway, I was.
You're the guy, the sucker who took the bait. Because all the other callers are regular callers. They'll call anyways. But this is your first time, right?
No, actually, it's my second.
What topic did you call in before?
It doesn't matter, Bob. We don't have
time.
Oh, not
tonight. I called in about a year and a half ago.
What was the topic?
Bob, it doesn't matter.
This show's a year and a half. Isn't that so great? A year and a half ago. Go ahead, baby.
Anyway, I was going to ask you, what do you think about the role of Germany and possibly reunified Europe, or like reunified Germany, possibly reunified Europe? And what I was going to say about heaven is, like, what the Bible declares as being heaven, whatever, or what they declare as being hell, as being sins and destruction and all this. Isn't that what most people consider to be heaven? And I wanted to get your opinion on that, like if you feel like the same way I do about that.
Yeah, they certainly did think about that, but they don't think that anymore. Since the last 18 months, since I've been on the air, it's transformed homeopathically this whole planet, and you're seeing this manifested on the physical, cultural level with the wall going down. We have a new image of Earth and its possibilities now, right?
Yeah.
But of course, as our previous caller pointed out, the yin and yang is that right when we see this new imploded world where we have mobility anywhere on the planet, what services the hell of Germany? We only had slack for a couple of weeks, and then German shows up. Germany shows up as an archetype of fear, right?
Well, a lot of people might be a little bit afraid about the reunification, but... like, you probably know as well as I do, what happened in World War II is not going to happen again. The German people won't let that happen. But, like what I was saying before about heaven and hell, like what most people consider to be hell from a biblical point of view is what we strive to be our heaven. You know, wine, women, fast cars, stuff like that. But from the biblical point
of
view...
Don't you love the sea, Alan? Okay, yeah, what were you saying? What do you mean wine, women, and song? That's not heaven anymore.
No, but people people consider that as being heaven, having good times, having fun, you know, going out and partying.
People consider that as heaven,
whereas the biblical point of view, that's when you go to hell. Burn, you go to hell and the sin and all that crap, right?
Yeah, you can't do that
anymore. I'm just trying to say how it seems to have reversed.
That's right.
What people have believed in the last 100 years seems to have reversed, and now it's acceptable, like the Catholic Church. I know you, Bob's Catholic. I know Bob's Catholic.
Thanks. Good.
Don't want to be insulting to you, Bob, but you know, like with Christian religious organizations, they seem to have slacked off in their views. Like you were saying, they've mellowed out and everything's cool now. It's cool to do this. It's cool to do that. And the only reason I feel that they've been doing it is because they have to keep up with the people, because the people ain't going to take the crap from them no more, you know?
That's right. Good point.
This is good dogma. You're just replaying what I just said to you.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, yeah, I'm doing it. I just called in. I just tuned in a couple of minutes ago.
That's okay.
You're echoing here. This is good. So carry on. So, yeah, they flip. The ground's flipped. They've got to adjust. And the ground is me, right? I'm the ground.
I don't want to step on you.
What?
Okay, but you know.
No, you can step on me.
Oh, no. I wouldn't
you know the famous line from Finnegan's Wake where the hand of man never set foot? So you can stand on me, because this is a tactile medium. I'm hand signals for the blind here. So you can step on me.
You could support me, but I wouldn't be standing on you.
Yeah, I know. You wouldn't. So, okay, so where does this leave you? What's the meaning for you in relation to this ground flip?
Getting back to the other thing, I was going to talk about Germany, but you were talking about heaven, so I brought that up.
Yeah, well, what can we say about Germany? There's no problem with Germany.
No, I'm not saying there is a problem, but what do you think is going to happen over there? You and the Secret Council 12, you guys know what's going on better than I do. So
that's right.
I just want to ask your opinion, right?
Well, do you know that not one psychic or occultist or anybody predicted that Germany would be unified within 89, 90?
It just came as a shock to me, too. I tuned the news one day.
Well, do you realize I predicted it in 1988 on an interview in Los Angeles? It's on the record. I'm the only person on the planet who predicted it. Now, there's one psychic group that did, the Exus, okay? But they did it a month after I did. So let's realize that you're correct in saying I know what's going to happen, because I knew it was going to happen.
That's why I'm calling.
Yeah, right.
You're Bob. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, let's have some testimonial here, hey? We'll get into some new knowledge. Okay, well, what's happened is that you notice in the media that Gorbachev is playing a cat and mouse game about whether he's going to accept a unified Germany being related to NATO.
But he has to do that for his people, because they're...
Oh, that's one part. They're ready to do what?
Kick him down.
Oh, no, they're not.
Like, from the European point of view, everyone likes Gorbachev, but from the Russian point of view, they're saying his reforms aren't coming fast enough. They need help in Russia, because Russia's falling apart faster than...
Well, that's what the Western media tell you. This is media ecology. See, you're getting fooled by the content. That is being presented for Western consumption while other massive changes are going on. Now, the thing is, we were just saying, okay, so Gorby's playing cat and mouse over Germany and NATO. The point is that back in 1982...
Pardon the opinion.
You're not waiting for the answer, man. You want to know. I'm going to give you the answer.
Because they know.
See how your pink brain is going off and you don't even want to hear the answer.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you just shut up for a minute. Let me tell you. All right? You're serving an important role.
Sorry, man. I got a couple beers in me.
It's all right. But you're serving an important role here. You're evoking the question. Let's give a chance for Bob to give the people who are also interested in this question as well as you, right? So, look, I'm just telling you a fact that in 1982, before the first strike in September 17th, 1982, Dr. Beter outlined that the Gorby faction made a deal with West Germany that West Germany could reunite, let's say, unite again with East Germany if they stay neutral in the coming first strike of September 17th, 1982. That was the most secret deal. All right? So if you knew Dr. Beter, you knew that since 1982, the first strike was stopped by the Gorby faction. It wasn't going to happen. We're not going to have nuclear war, all right?
Yeah.
There are attempts to have it, but they're not... They are monitored so well that they will not be...
Everyone's friends now in the world. There's
right.
There's no point of nuclear war.
I'm talking about 7 years ago, okay? And what happened?
Van's going to freak out or something.
Oh, that's a little later. That's in 5 years. Don't worry about that right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to deal with that. I'll keep you up to date on it. But see, in 1982... If you knew Dr. Beter's information, you would understand and why I could make the prediction. Because as of 83, 84, no nuclear war, then you knew Germany had made the deal with, had survived the first strike and had made the important arrangements so that Gorby would award them. Okay?
Well, Bob, do you feel anything, if there is a reunified Germany, do you see any signs of a possible Fourth Reich rising?
Oh, there is.
Are all the German people going to be totally against that and outlaw any type of like Nazi Party or anything even resembling any former Reich?
Okay, now the Fourth Reich is already operating out of North America. Okay,
yeah.
Now that's why you have a battle. NATO is an extension of North America, both the Canada and the United States.
Canada is the United States.
Right. Okay, the Fourth Reich is operating out of North America. Now the territory of the Fourth Reich is shrinking. And now it's shrinking in Europe. And the battle is to get Germany, they hope, to align themselves with the Fourth Reich, the elements within Germany that are aligned with the North American thing, in opposition to Gorby. Now, the battle for Gorby is to make a public arrangement about the relationship of NATO to a unified Germany.
Yeah,
that is
the East to go NATO, too.
That's right. Now, this has already been worked out. The answer to this situation is that good times are coming on that level. The Fourth Reich will not work. It'll only work in North America,
yeah.
All right, like a new Cuba, an isolated zone, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the Fourth Reich is retreating, and they can operate out of North America and still do... nuisance for the Solar government. But the point of Germany as an agent of the Fourth Reich does not apply anymore. Germany is very conscious of its commitments to Gorby's world, and they're going to play a little media ecological news management over what's what for who and various audiences, but in the end, it won't matter.
Now,
okay,
well,
you don't have to worry about it.
Because they are the key to NATO and the Warsaw Pact, so I was figuring they've got the card, they have the hand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that was played seven.
They can play the role. They can go one way or the other, or they can go neither way. And if they go neither way, everybody's screwed.
They're going to go. They're going to go both ways. They're going to stay in NATO. Okay.
That's what they would do. They should do anyway.
No, and you know why they're going to go both ways? Because it's already been played. The card was played in 1981, 82.
Yeah.
All right. These things, these matters are
nobody's feeling.
No, it's not. It was a serious battle going on.
They can't just sit there because that's what happened last time.
See, you're talking 40 years ago.
It's a little different this time, right? They got split.
Look, are you not hearing what I'm saying? Is that Germany does not exist anymore, okay?
Yeah.
The obligation for the power structure before 82 already got involved and made their deal with Gorby. You're just seeing an acting out of images of mythic icons of Germany in relation to other mythic cultural icons. This is the theater. These are the archetypes that you can study if you know the
hidden
ground.
Oh, I'm out of here, Bob.
Yeah, you get it? You understand.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, see you later, Bob.
Slack, you're great.
Okay, I thought it was time to cut that one a little short.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not beer drinkers, it's just hard to get through.
Yeah, I know. Okay, you're listening to CKLN 88.1 FM. My name is Michael Dyer. This is the Church of the Subgenius. We are over our hour, but we do have one more
Yee-hoo!
Call.
Yee-hoo! So I get to stay on and rule some more.
Let's make this our last call, Bob. And
what the files, right?
Exactly. My desk player, Bob Dobbs. Hi. Hello. Hello. Hi, you're on the air.
Let's go back a couple of weeks because it's been incredible. Many patterns have been confirmed.
Let's just reaffirm that if you are a new listener, we do accept your phone calls, your inquiries, your questions. And the number is 595-1478, not a regular
number. Okay, it's Looping Madness now.
Is that our new caller?
Converse with anyone.
This is
that's an interesting thing. Remember I point out that Bob Dobbs' number is... Bob's number is 19
POBB2. Okay, we do have another legitimate call. This is kind of quaint. Hello. Oh. Ah, okay. Hi, CKLN.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bob, I wanted to ask you about...
Dublin. We're waiting for you, Dublin, baby. Five minutes. 5 minutes. You got to be tight and tapered tonight. Go fast and bulbous. Okay.
Thank you very much. I just wanted... Do you think that that Russia is...
You know, I don't think, Dublin. I don't think, all right?
Okay, you better tell us then.
No. Go ahead. What's the question? Don't use the preface. Think.
Okay. I think that maybe Russia wants to be part of the European Economic Community, and maybe they're going to have to let go all their satellites.
Well, they did, and they will, and they are going to be part of it.
But they're going to have to go through the motions.
That's right. They've got to go through the historical baggage.
But then they're going to identify themselves as part of the European Economic Community?
Yeah, well, we get into that point. I've explained before about the 5 1-billion groupings, right? The 1 billion Christians from Moscow to Los Angeles. The 1 billion Muslims in the Middle East,
yeah.
The 1 billion Hindus in Asia, 1 billion Buddhists, and we're left with 1 billion atheists or discarnate or secular or people who don't identify with a religious institution. Those are the 5 billion units, right? So, yeah, Gorby, being part of the secret Christian grouping in Russia, will line up with the Christian world. But that's for the planet. The planet's obsolete. The Global Village is a global theater. He rules the solar government. You've got to study the effects on the solar government level. How come NASA cannot accomplish a shuttle flight, even when it's a military mission, without delays, endless delays? Because they don't control the situation. They have to wait till Gorby gives them the signal. So they fake up excuses that their commander got sick. You heard that today, right?
Yeah, I did.
All right.
Yeah.
So you don't worry about the involvements and ramifications of cultural archetypes merging and separating on the planet. That's the stage. That's the theater. We're talking about what's happening in the universe and in the solar government level for bureaucratic control. That's what Gorby controls. That's why he's let it all go, because he doesn't need this area of control. He's operating from the satellite zone. That's what they won in 1977, the Battle of the Harvest Moon.
What if people can't live in space for more than 6 months or a year without having medical bad effects?
There's no problem, because they can stay here on the planet and supersede space by being discarnate. Discarnate, the electric experience goes beyond Newtonian space. The space program is essentially Newtonian. Okay, we're post-Euclidean here in the discarnate state. We have access to the whole universe. We can stay on the planet and travel faster and farther than anybody who's stuck in one capsule. He's like an old version of the angel. He can go anywhere as he wants, but he's only at that point when he's there. Now, when you're discarnate, you're everywhere at the same time. You're not limited to one body.
Yeah,
just by watching TV or listening to radio. Electric environments is where it's at. That's where we get our slack. I'm not going out to space in the Pink program.
No, it's okay, but as long as you had Star Wars, as long as you had the nuclear threat, then the space satellite technology is a unifying thing, right?
Yeah.
But if we have peace, what will be the point of it? The point is, do we need it as a unifying thing?
You will need Star Wars and that kind of stuff to participate in the solar government empire run by Gorby. You got to start working on the moon and Mars and building your colonies. And you're going to have to deal with invasions from alien factors. So SDI will be used on the secret level for extraterrestrial battles. Now, the X's are here to start the first battle, but I'm holding them at bay.
Well, they could always colonize the moon, I suppose.
Oh, they're going to. It's already happened.
Because I think you could live on the moon. There's enough gravity there to keep your feet pointed down and keep your blood circulating properly in its blood vessels.
And machines can do it anyways for us.
Well, machines can do it, but I just think that people are going to have to do it. That's all.
Oh, yeah. Those in the Pink Prison will be forced and trained and from very early age to live out there. And if you've got a big population with incredible numbers of potential colonizers, you're going to get a few, which will be enough to run the place, right?
No, if you just get a few out there, it's bad, because they're going to form a threat to everybody.
Oh, that's what Gorby and those boys looked after. They've already taken care of that. Matter of fact, Gorby and them are the ones who have hijacked our planet. They're the ones, like me and working with me, who have already done that. We have hijacked that level. We control the immediate solar system colonies.
Okay, then, if you hijacked it, tell me this. How come in this country we're undergoing these weird reflexes now where people seem to want to accept more totalitarianism? Like, we've got two different sets of laws now, one at the provincial level, one at the federal level, where they're threatening that the police, the government, quite simply doesn't have to inform the citizens about charges that are laid in court.
Okay, you don't need to go into details. Let me ask you a question. The reason people are jumping into conformity is that if you look at my perfect pitch chart on the eighth level, where the second coming is the hidden ground, the figure for that is the mythic stage. Now, the mythic stage is any medium, any environment as your mythic clothing. You wear any environment. People are huddling in the medium of their choice.
Which is brown paper bags over their heads.
That's right, or visual space or bureaucratic work or auto factories. Whatever media technology they get involved with and accept totalitarian tribal rule.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is
it's anesthetics. It's an anesthetic to jump into the past.
It's not. I think it's more interesting to pursue it the way you said, as an archetype, like Marshall.
Okay,
because what happens is, if we allow our government to start making all kinds of laws governing free speech, which Canadians seem, a lot of them seem very willing to do right now, if we allow them to make laws controlling, cutting off information from the people anytime they want, any place they want, then we're choosing an archetype of ourselves with our heads stuck in paper bags, like those brown ones. You know, the ones that are just big enough to put over your head?
That's right, they're clothing.
So this is the Ontario Canadian wasp archetype, then.
Right.
As the world gets to be a brighter place, full of color, freedom, the Russians crossing the borders, and you can look at it from space and see the blue of the ocean, the blue of the sky, the green of the trees, and all the pinkness of it, Pop. and what we got here is brown paper bags, like a whole 5 million population in Toronto, busy stuffing their head into brown paper bags and saying, "This is my archetype. This is my archetype."
That's
David
right. Rampant art narcissism, and that's
narcissism.
Yeah, collective narcissism. That's why you should never buy another album, never buy another CD, don't go to another club, do not apply for another grant, do not take a job. Find out how to get slack in that prison situation, which you have. You have slack yourself.
Oh, I have slack. So why does everybody want to stick their head in a paper bag?
Because they're pinks and they're not prepared to deal with what's been happening. I mean, we've been living in a little bedroom over here in North America that's been, poisoned and...
But, Bob, I thought we were the ultimate pinks.
Oh, we are. That's what I just said.
And if we're the ultimate pinks, how do we comprehend
what's going on?
The witting destruction of the concept of honest, formal, straightforward, outspoken, practical, factual central government in Canada, where the people elect the representatives, the representatives consider the facts, pass the laws, and then they implement the laws, and everybody's happy. What we should be doing is using our credit cards wisely to travel abroad, Russia. We should be checking out the blue-green of the North Atlantic. We should be going down to South America and saying, "Hey, we don't want your problems. We just want to be your friends." We're not doing any of this stuff. What we're doing is we're creating a monolithic, stultifying, concrete state here with our heads stuck in paper bags.
Yeah, like George Lucas's movie THX 1148 or 1138 in... which is two times 11.
It's worse than that. Did you see the movie Blade Runner?
Yeah, it's like that.
Okay, did you read the book Android's Dream of Electric Sheep?
Yeah.
Did you understand it?
Yeah.
You were talking about heaven.
Yeah.
These were androids, were human beings in form, but they were made out of DNA like robots.
Yeah, that's Dr. Beter's organic robotoids.
Grown in a vat.
Organic robotoids.
But they could only live for 5 years.
Yeah.
So what they did, they came back down to Earth.
We know this.
Pulled a jailbreak in order to get down here after they'd been alive for 4.5 years so they could maybe be alive.
That's right.
That was their idea of heaven.
Yeah.
But Earth in those days, which is in the future, which is like Star Wars a long time ago in the near future, so to speak, the Earth was so polluted with radioactive dust that they worshipped animals. There was only about 2,500 animals left alive on the planet, including insects.
Dublin, you're basically a hijacker.
I'm not kidding you. And what happened was these androids came down to this cesspool of radioactive dust, death, concrete.
This is this guy. Just laying it out here.
Now, if you look at the movie with Harrison Ford in it, they didn't do the same thing with the image. What they gave you was Los Angeles combined with New York of the 23rd century if we all got stuck in the year 1919.
Yeah, Queen Street.
It just grew up and up and up, and the taxis flew, but everybody was still a jerk. And that's where the androids came to maybe be free. And what heaven was it turned out by accident, the girl robot android lived. She actually lived 5 or 10 years, and she got to go off with Harrison Ford into the unknown, which was not sterile, not
Gnostic archetype. Gnostic archetype.
It was icy green fields, Northern California, Seattle, state of Washington, right there.
Yeah.
And he got to be alone with a girl. That was heaven. She got to be alive in that context.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. You're so accurate tonight, W.
So read the book. Philip K. Dick.
Now you turn it into an advertisement.
Seriously,
they've been sitting in his bedroom.
Now, here we got
Ontario. We got this bedroom for 10 years. It's got viruses in it, and we ain't prepared to do the natural energy. We don't know the difference between slack and laziness. That's the problem.
We're mounting all
so you've changed the ground. That's why we got different
energy. Assault on a pile of burning tires while we stick our heads in brown paper bags. I mean, I don't comprehend what's going on. Bob, if we're the ultimate pinks... And this,
don't take it so personally.
But I have to. See, the gift that we have is the gift of life, Bob.
That's right. Now, yeah, that's my you're talking my language.
That the robot androids came back into the radioactive dust insectoid hell, you know, looking for just they wanted to walk on the sand where life once had been. They wanted to look into that lifeless post-industrial atmosphere. And they wanted to say, this is
English.
Life.
It's all English.
This is life. We are life. Like, we've got that. So if what we see is an ultimate devolution, evolvement, but in a sense of a denouement, evolving into its evolving existence, protracted fact. Like a kind of a prolapse of the whole country.
This is heaven, baby.
This is pink. Because this is Mulroney wears pink shirts.
Is this good?
And he said that there's no room in Canada.
That's right. The paper bag. Overall.
I heard it. No room for brown paper bag. David Peterson said.
Okay, great, Stubby. Ring, ring with the alarm. Oh, my God. Okay, yes, you're on.
Whoa.
Whoa, real radio.
What's with all the reverb and the taped interference? It's like a cross between John Cage and Pink Floyd.
Yeah. Isn't this great?
It's resonating.
Ooh, heaven. It's heaven tonight. February 22nd.
Okay, Bob.
Yeah.
What you're talking about with the Cal and all the different universes, the physical, astral, causal, mental.
Right up your alley, right?
Right on. Okay.
Is that Paul Twitchell stuff?
Saint Mat, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, one factor you left out, though, is the audible power currents, the light and sound, the visual and acoustic space.
Well, I was getting to that, but you can talk about it. Tell us.
Right on. Well, it's the force that actually pulls the soul out of those areas, out of those lower planes, those physical and psychic planes, into the spiritual cosmic awareness.
Is that Gurdjieff's octaves?
It can relate to that, too,
You think that Twitchell had a better handle on it, though, than Gurdjieff?
Well, he actually talked about Gurdjieff's octaves. He took material from all over. He was a master compiler and took material from Gurdjieff. He took material from Saint Mat and various different other teachings, too, to put it all together.
So he does write about Gurdjieff in his work?
Yeah.
Okay,
he actually steals some material of his.
Well, you've soul projected yourself. You've contacted the Eck. Right?
That's right.
Well, what can you describe it, even though we know you can't describe it? Make an attempt with this echo reverb.
The thing about what you say a lot in your in the dogma you give out, you said once that the astral plane has collapsed.
Yeah.
And actually, what's happening is that as an evolutionary process, we as soul are traveling into the psychic areas, so the body and the physical plane is becoming obsolete because we're evolving more into the psychic areas.
Yeah.
It's an evolutionary process.
Yeah.
So it's not that the astral plane has collapsed, is that we're more on the astral plane, so a lot more of those occult teachings are filtering in.
Yeah, as garbage, you know, as mirror cushions, archetypes, as Dubby calls it, Dublin.
As garbage, because most people don't have a yardstick to measure what is garbage and what's not. At least on the physical planes, people have more of a handle of decisions, like what choice to be made. When it comes to the astral plane, a lot of people don't really know how to measure the value of certain ideas that are coming through.
Which
is implosion.
Right, so many people over the next 100 years will be learning these basic skills that we've mastered. So therefore, we're left with this show to explore the new dimensions, right?
Right, the subgenius.
Yeah, the subgenius dimensions, the post-Eck dimensions, in the sense that we're not putting down Eck, we're just saying, post-Eck, right? E-C-K.
Well,
and you know, HCE in Finnegan's Wake, spelled backwards, is Eck.
What's that stand for in Finnegan's Wake?
The particular figure character refers to as Humphrey Chimpton Earwicker. Okay, that's the private version, private figure. The collective figure is, it's the audience, it's the Finnegan for the book and for all media. Here comes everybody, HCE. And so ECH is Eck, right? HCE becomes Eck, so he was aware of that.
Right.
So we're actually doing Eck. We're not post-Eck, we're mirror Eck.
I think you'd accept that.
Yeah, that's right.
That, I think we've come to an agreement here compared to all your letters earlier.
But that's why the Ek is not resonating electromagnetic energy, because that's a manifested force, and the pure Ek is an unmanifested force.
Well, for the sake of us having new things to talk about next time, I'll agree with you.
Okay.
So you have to come up with more ways of talking about it.
Okay.
We agreed on that word, that little principle, geometry. Okay, now do we... We've got to keep using this medium with content.
Okay. I'll check out some Ryman and Nicholas of Cusa for next time.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Great. Thanks, Dave.
Great, Bob.
Bye.
Right. Okay, here we are. We still going. I mean, I'm not going to say no to phone
no,
calls.
So, we're hot tonight, Mike.
you're listening to CKLN 88.1 in Toronto, the Church of the Subgenius Radio Hour and 25 minutes, but who's counting? And with me tonight is J.R. Bob Dobbs of the Church of the Subgenius, and tonight's theme is heaven. Hello, you're on the air.
And the whole world around us is collapsing. Degenerate. And merely to revive the old religions, as some are trying to do. Meaningless. But a man who is deeply concerned, as you must be,
Krishnamurti.
Then there is a movement.
This is Krishnamurti, people.
You're merely accepting authority of another. When you understand the nature and the structure a culture which is absolutely necessary. A culture, not brought about by a few, but by that may be timeless. Complex question.
Krishnamurti.
And what is complex can be understood only when the mind is very simple. Not childish, not immature, but simple. But most of you probably have read or gone to some guru, or you have invented your own form of meditation.
See, Mike, this is Krishnamurti. Now, Krishnamurti was my John
so
the Baptist.
You're already burdened.
In 1929, he stepped down from the Pink Sinker Council of Ten run by the Theosophists. He was being set up as the pink version for chairman of the Sinker Council of Ten, and he dropped it. He adopted electric autonomy, and we're listening. Thanks to the listener, the gift we're being given. Krishnamurti, talking here. And Krishnamurti is the previous archetype of me, because he was able to act out the dropout situation that enabled me to drop in to the Sinker Council of Ten. All right, thanks to Krishnamurti.
Krishnamurti.
So let's just listen a little longer.
Sure. I guess that's it. I guess that's all we'll listen to.
That person wanted me to explain my relationship to Krishnamurti?
No, let's go to another call.
Okay.
We have caller 42. 42. Okay, let's try 43. Hello, 43.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I have a little fairy tale for Bob.
Thanks.
Okay.
Is this Helen?
No.
Heather?
This is Sheila.
Sheila, what's your last name, Smith?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, hey, listen, you can call Connie and get an appointment anytime.
Okay.
All you have to do is just say, give me the doctor that works with Connie, and then you get a basic checkup with her, and then they'll refer you to Connie if you want to get referred.
Okay.
Very simple. Don't get thrown off by whatever problems you've had so far.
All right, I won't.
Okay, so yeah, your question, Sheila.
I don't actually. Oh,
okay, your story. Well, all stories become questions, right? Go ahead.
I suppose they do.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, this is my tale of heaven. Right. Everybody had been invited. They gathered in the once empty room, filling the silence with the stories of their lives. This is the best time of our lives, they boasted. The crowd was all smiles, all fragrances, all blending of species in a vast mosaic of I, me, mine, excuse me, or standing on my ego, said the smallest in the largest shoes. Buzz, buzz, buzz went the big noise, uninhibited by the walls between it and the rest of the world, finding the true pleasure in the next extraordinary thing that could happen in the next possible moment, only the eternal present to reckon with. They were exalted in their union, though pondering at the ecstasy of the hive. We bless this day that we have been brought together, all bound for the singular cause. The I have lived before, replacing the I will live again, rallying against mortality, seeking a saving grace, overcoming of the societal stigmata, from whence all things come, so shall they follow, though the velocity of a thing may distinguish before it meets its finish. So shall change be endless. Arms open wide to embrace the flux, wary of the false sense of peace. The top cork is an unknown known as truth. These are the laws of mediocrity. You can take something that isn't yours, or you can say something that isn't true. Attention, when you lie on your back and cry, the tears will collect in your ears. Head over heels, tongue firmly planted in mouth, every other line, hook, stinker, sound travels, stop sight. What creature are you, fate by order, or destiny with intent? Attention, complications may occur when you apply meaning. Let's agree to differ. Everybody is entitled to their own opinion. Ask anyone who is a somebody, and that's anyone you see. Attention, since gambling includes a risk without other fleeting observations, the message is medium. This is a small town where what you wear walks you down the street, and who you know is who you meet when you're mobilely upward. Attention, basic aspects of the common obstacle reflect brighter on channels where they need not display themselves. What it is, what the thing is the same serving on different salaries. I'd like to take you to dinner so I could watch you eat. Attention, sacrosanct sleepwalkers. Do not watch the Middle Ages on fast forward. They like to talk about how they make their living worth the while, or else they pretend that nothing ever happened. Attention, if you wish to return to the room, do not slam the door and keep the key in your pocket. Picked up on the wordplay, sorry guys, this lies in the fiction nonfiction realm. Bring your own subtext. Dread the denouement. Attention, truth becomes lie, and lie becomes truth again. Go, gravity, go. Attention, there will be plenty of time tomorrow. What story are you swallowing? What convictions have you secured that keep the roof a ceiling to your heaven? Attention, no patents will be issued for perpetual motion. This isn't a want, it's a need or have not. Attention, once the sun gets here, we'll have all the energy we need. The synthesis of mind and matter can only be achieved through the use of verbs. Get your herd spoken. The universe is a local issue. Attention, welcome to Sticksville, nearest kin to Synchrony City, where you can't put another bullet in a ghost. Calling all fairies to link the daisy chain. Mislay the misgivings of the giveaways. No payoff intended. The checks in the mail, female. Attention, where you... ready, willing, and capable of working each day? No, 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 yes, no. Take your life. They'll know who you are. The advice from the giver's best advantage. Find the scream and the die for a tribe. Attention, death is our nation's number one killer. Chop the soul from the system. Settle for less as bullshit baffles brains in the great wash. Attention, attention. Death makes room for beauty. This is the gathering of words in the fourth dimension. And that's a mouthful.
Excellent, Sheila. Excellent. Now, I've heard that before, haven't I? I think this is the first time you've had a chance to present it in a discarnate state, though.
Yes.
Yeah, so you'll be studying the effects you have of doing it this way.
I certainly will.
Yeah, this is a new ground. The gist of what you're saying is the disservices of a community of electric autonomous individuals. That's how the meaning for me for this manifesto is that you're giving an inventory of the effects of living in Toronto among other discarnate electric autonomous people.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's what you're dealing with. Now, you know that you have to deal with the English language, so you're always playing off the yin-yang of any two meanings. Remember, Joyce did Finnegan's Wake with two words. you're forced to do that process in English. But I know that you're studying, you're trying to get beyond that or get into a